Well, let's stand for the reading of the word this morning. Praise the Lord. Hope you're excited about being here today. I want to receive something. I want to be able to give something this morning that will help someone. Amen. I want to go to the book of Jeremiah. I know you've probably been there this week already, so you know right where it's at. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Praise God. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. Things that God likes or delights in. Amen. I want to talk about some things here this morning. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord right now. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for truth this morning. We ask you to anoint the word of God to our hearts, speak to us, and we give you honor, praise, and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Praise God. Going to spend a little bit of time here in the word this morning. Brother Reed, give me 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. And let's see, who else can read for me? Brother Greg, would you read for me this morning? Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Give you an easy one there. Amen. That's Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Doug, would you get me Luke chapter 12 and verse 20? Amen. The Lord is speaking to us through the prophet Jeremiah. And There is a truth here this morning that there are things that we delight in. There are things that we despise. Amen. All of us are that way. You've got your favorite food that you eat. You've got the food that you despise. Amen. That you don't really like. Amen. What do you not like as far as food goes, Garrett? Broccoli. All right. Anybody with Garrett this morning? All right, we got two that don't like broccoli. Brother Reed doesn't like anything that's green. Amen. He likes white potatoes and meat, and that's about it. Amen. But you know, it's just preference. It's just preference, and sometimes those preferences change. I remember as a kid, I looked at those pork and beans on the table, and I thought, disgusting. I just thought those were the worst things in the world that a person could eat. And then one time I thought, I'm going to be real brave and I'm going to get a little bit of it and try it. And when I tried it, I fell in love with it. Amen. But that's the way we are. That's the way things go. Brother Darrell brought me some ostrich here a while back, and Brother Darrell, we haven't eaten it yet. Amen. It's still in the freezer. How long does that last in the freezer? About a year. All right. Well, praise God. I thank you for bringing that. Amen. And we just looked at it and thought, ostrich. Never tried ostrich before. So we're building up the courage to fix that and eat it. My wife's like... That was the look like, you're going to fix it. Praise God. But there are some things that we prefer. And here's some things that we prefer. And Jeremiah speaks of those things. There's three of them. Everybody said three. There's something about that number three that is synonymous with other things in the scriptures here. Wisdom. Everybody said wisdom. Power, everybody said power. And then riches, everybody said riches. All right. If I were to ask the question, I'm sure somebody would come up with the right answer. What do those three things represent to us? Well, they don't represent anything that God approves of or that God delights in. Let's look at it that way. Earthly wisdom, of course, was given to us by God, but it does not lead us to God. Would you read the scripture there, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, I believe. 1 Corinthians 1, 21.
For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
All right. So by the wisdom of this world, everybody said wisdom of this world. All right. So the wisdom of this world. By wisdom, they knew not God. You're not going to find God in science. By going to science to find God, you won't find him. And you might see that there is a God in science, but much of what we see today in science is atheism, and it is not spiritual, and it is not leading anyone to God. There are many, many, many today that have their logic and their wisdom, but it is not going to lead us to God. What we need is the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. Amen. That somebody that is not as educated as another person can stand in the Holy Ghost and preach the Word of God and change the heart and the life of the wise. Amen. And so the wisdom of this world. All right. Get us Zechariah, Brother Greg. Did you read that for us this morning?
Then he answered and spake unto them, thank you, saying, this is the word of the Lord.
All right. Not by might nor by power. Everybody said power. Amen. Power. And so it is not by power. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter how many tanks we have. It doesn't matter. And we was at the air show yesterday and saw all of the armaments of war and all of the airplanes and all of those kinds of things. And when they fly by, they flew one of the stealthy airplanes by, and it was making all kinds of noise. And it really almost gives you chill bumps to think that we've got this much power. They say that one of our nuclear submarines can destroy an entire country, and that's just one submarine, and we've got quite a few of those. Even our president recently, and I've never heard a president speak like this, but he said we have power that nobody even knows about. Amen. And my thought was, we have the power of God, but the power of man is not going to lead us to any kind of blessing. Amen. it does not give me a good feeling that Russia has 3,000 nuclear missiles. Amen. And that we have a few less than that. It does not make me feel good that others are wanting power. And when they seek for power and wisdom, amen, there is an underlying thing that they're looking for, and that is riches. Amen. They want to be the top of the heap. Amen. On the king of the hill, as they say. Luke chapter 12 and verse 20 talks about the rich man here who thought he had it all. Read that for us, please. All right. Who's going to get everything that you've worked for? Your riches are not going to save you. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. This is not promoting poverty, not by any means. I believe the Lord blesses us. But I believe that we've got to have everything in the right perspective. Now, there are three things that are in the world. Those three things line up with these three things. Amen. The lust of the flesh. Anybody give me an idea which one would go with that? Lust of the flesh. All right. I think it's probably the lust of the flesh. Let's see. The lust of the eyes would be right here under riches. Lust of the eyes. The pride of life. Well, you know what? I may just put pride right up here by wisdom. The lust of the flesh over here by power. Amen. And the Bible talks about these things. And it tells us here that we are inclined to do these things. The word delight there in the scripture means to incline to, or to bend in that direction, or to be pleased with, to delight, or to have pleasure. And so these are the things that we delight in as unregenerated people, as carnal mankind. That right there is the problem of our world. And if you see a war taking place, it's because somebody wants power. Amen. It's because somebody wants riches. If you see any of the difficulties, and you can bring it all the way down to individual relationships, most individual relationships between countries, from the biggest to the smallest, we can see that this right here is the problem, or the root problem, of every situation. Somebody said amen. And the Bible says that the world, and actually it says that all that is in the world. So this is the world. Amen. And what happens to the world? The Bible says that the world will pass away. The world is going to pass away. Amen. Excuse me. And the lust thereof. So all of the riches are going to pass away. All of the power is going to pass away. All of the wisdom is going to pass away. None of it is going to last. Amen. But there is one thing that we should delight in, and that is the things that will not pass away. Amen. The things that are going to last for eternity. And Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23, he talks about it here. And he talks about the glorying of man. what he boasts of, or what he glories in. He glories in his wisdom, his might, his riches. But it doesn't say that glorying is wrong. Amen. The only time that it's wrong is when we get it in the wrong perspective and we begin to glory, or we begin to delight in, or we begin to incline to things that are not good for us and are not going to last. The word glory there, that when we glory, let not the mighty man glory. And then it says, but let him that glorieth in this. In every place here in verse 23 and 24 of Jeremiah, the word glory there means the same thing. It means to be clear, or to have a clear sound, or to make a show, or to boast of, and to rave about. You can tell an awful lot about where the heart is by what we talk about and what we are proud of. Amen. And the things that we love the most. When any one of these young men on the front row get their first car or pickup truck or whatever it is, it can have rust all over it. It can need shocks and tires, but she runs. Amen. And it's mine. And they'll talk about all the good things about it. And if they get a Pagotti at some point in time, they're really going to be showing it off. Well, praise the Lord. You do that with your new vehicles, amen, and all of that because we like nice things. How many likes nice things? I like nice things. I do. And I'm not searching and looking for all of those all the time, but the world is, and they love their new car, they love their new house, they love this, that, and the other, amen, and they rave about it, they boast about it, and there's nothing wrong with being excited about the things that we have. Living for God is not a situation where we walk around with hatred of everything in this world. No, there are some things in this world that God has given us for our blessings. There's some things He's given you, your job for your blessing. Amen. He's given us the things, the natural elements of this world to bless us. He put gold in the hills. So that we could be blessed, so we could be prosperous and have good things. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. There really isn't anything wrong with that. And in fact, I believe the Bible says that it is the Father's good pleasure to give us good things. Amen. Amen. Not necessarily things that we have to have, but as a parent, I'm sure you've probably given your children things that they don't necessarily deserve, but you give it to them anyway. Amen. Because it's you feel good about blessing your children. Well, praise the Lord. And we delight in them because they are our offspring. And whatever the situation is, we have a tendency to bend toward these things. Amen. As just people, as human beings, we tend to look at things that look good. We tend to go to things that feel good. Amen. We tend to go to things that make us feel good about ourselves. Amen. Well, praise God. And that's what pride is. I want to feel good about myself. And we're living in a selfie generation today, aren't we? Praise God. I took a selfie just the other day, yesterday, in fact. Not just of me. I don't want to misunderstand. I don't go around taking selfies of myself. I'm just really not that interested. I don't really think that I take good pictures. And some of you, looking at some of you this morning, you probably feel the same way as I do. Don't throw anything at me, but you know what I'm talking about. Amen. You get a little bit older and you have a little less hair and a little different color, amen, in your hair. Well, praise God. Some of you don't even like your hair. You just shave it all off, amen. Praise the Lord. And some of you have curled your hair this morning. But when you turn 70, you probably won't have the same hairdo, amen. And you know, when you're young, you got that nice complexion, no wrinkles or anything on your face, amen. But then you get a little bit older, and you're looking in the mirror, and you say, "What's that spot? I didn't see that spot the other day." Amen. Well, it's been there a lot longer than you think. Amen. You didn't see it because you hadn't got your glasses on yet. Well, praise the Lord. And things change, don't they? Things change. But some things never change, and that is that in this flesh of ours, we have a desire, an innate desire for things that are going to pass away. I don't know why it's that way. I don't know why God chose to do it that way necessarily. I have my theories and all of that. But you know what? Theories don't always work when you put it to the practical application of it. Amen. A man can come up with a great idea going to start this business and make $1 billion. And he's got all the facts and figures, and he's got it all worked out on his calculator ahead of time. And all he has to do is say the first sentence or two, and his wife says, "I don't think I like this idea." And there's just something about it. We're drawn away. We bend toward things that are not good for us, and we desire things that are not necessarily going to last. Amen. But there are three things here that the Bible talks about when it talks about the Lord. Amen. And it says, "Let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, amen, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Amen. Well, we have a tendency to glory in wisdom. We have a tendency to glory in our wealth and in our power. And as I've already said, that you can sum these up. But there are three things here. Loving kindness. Everybody said loving kindness. I'm just going to put love here. Loving kindness, that's a beautiful word. I love that word in the scriptures because I need loving kindness, and it means merciful. Amen. That's what the word means, merciful. Let's just say mercy. Amen. Well, can you see some opposites here this morning? I can. When we talk about love and mercy, What is it that keeps us from having mercy? Amen. It's the opposite. It's the opposite of what God delights in. And you say, well, it wasn't right. You know what? It wasn't right that I sent him to Calvary either. But he forgave me, and he had mercy on me. And I'm thankful for that mercy today. It is very easy for us to get the idea that because we have been given mercy, that somehow or another we're special above every other person on the face of the earth. But the truth of it is, God came and robed himself in flesh and went to the cross for all of the world. Amen. The sins of the past, present, and future. And I'm very thankful for that today. And so what the Lord delights in is what we need to delight in. There's another scripture Jesus said. He said to have mercy. He said if you want mercy, then you need to give mercy. It's reciprocal. Amen. And if we don't give mercy, then God can't give mercy to us. He taught us in the prayer and how to pray, and he said, Father, forgive me of my debts, or forgive me of my trespasses, as I forgive those that have trespassed against me. Amen. And so when we look at the opposites here, God does not like pride. God does not like unforgiveness. Amen. Because it is a representation of pride. Amen. They don't deserve forgiveness, and so I'm not going to give forgiveness to them. What is that? That is a works-based relationship. It means that you've got to perform in order for me to love you. You have to come up to a certain measure in order for me to accept you. And God help us here this morning. I'm not going to get off on a little rabbit trail, but there is in this world that kind of a spirit, and there is that kind of a spirit within the apostolic, within the church itself. Amen. That says you've got to measure up, or you're not going to be accepted. Well, I've got news for those folks that none have measured up. Amen. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. every preacher, every saint of God, every person, every apostle, amen. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so the penalty of sin, we know what it is, right? Penalty of sin is death. It's eternal death. It is sometimes physical death. It is emotional death. It is relationship death. It brings death. Amen. Sin brings death because sin is the byproduct of lust and pride. Amen. Lust and pride go together. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. It starts out with the eyes, and we look at it, and we say, that looks really good. And then lust says, I want it. But it does not conceive and become sin until there is a conception, and it brings in pride. And pride says, I now deserve this, and because I deserve this, then I'm going to do this, or I'm going to go in this direction. And that's when sin is conceived, and it brings forth death. It has a child of death that it brings. I don't want that kind of a thing in my life. Amen. I don't want a spirit of death in my life. And so I've got to understand it. He said, to this person I will come. In Jeremiah chapter 20, Jeremiah 9 and verse 24, he said, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth. Amen. Everybody said, understand. Understand. I've got to understand some things about God. And I've got to understand some things about myself. Amen. And about the body that I live in, the nature of this flesh that I reside in this morning. I've got to sit down and think about these things. Amen. I've got to think about mercy because the Lord loves mercy. If the Lord did not love mercy, there would not be any people left. Amen. Noah and his family would have died. Amen. But Noah had fallen short. The Bible doesn't say that he did anything, but we know Abraham fell short. Moses fell short. David fell short. We can look at all of the Bible figures and characters, and we find that they all fell short. And so what does God do? God loves his creation. He loves all the animals. Amen. He really does. And for all of you dog and cat lovers, that's good news this morning. God loves your dog and your cat. Amen. Probably more than you do. Amen. And I remember the Tuckers lost their dog one time, and it was several days, and we prayed about that. They said, please pray for our dog. Amen. And I may not be pronouncing it right. I think Sister Tucker says dog. Amen. And she got out in the wilderness somewhere and come back with all these cockaburrs, but a few days later, God brought her back. Amen. And we praise God for that. You know, he makes a note in his book when a sparrow falls? He does. Did you know that he named every star in the universe? And we don't even have the faintest idea how many there are, but God gave a name to every one of his creations. Praise God. He did. He gave it a name because he is intimately involved in his creation. He said of his creation, it is very good. I really like what I have done. And so he understands. The Bible says he knows our frame. Amen. He knows that we are given over to pride. He knows that we are given over to the lust of the flesh. He understands these things. And so he has mercy. The Bible says, as a father pitieth his son, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Amen. God loves us so very, very much. I don't know if that thrills your heart this morning, but it thrills my heart because I've fallen short. Amen. And I need mercy. Anybody else have a need of mercy this morning? Amen. Have a little bit of mercy on your wife. Amen. Have a little bit of mercy on your husband. Have some mercy on your children. Praise God. Look for places where you can have mercy. Amen. That's not overlooking sin. Amen. And there are times when situations arise that there's no way you can do anything about it. Amen. There's no way, because the other individual may not want your mercy. They may not even care if you give them mercy. But I've found in my life that if I will work towards mercy, and even though they may not still like me, which I can't understand me being such a nice, sweet, kind, and person that I am, I just can't imagine that anybody would ever get upset with me. Amen. What are y'all smiling about? Praise God. But there has been a few situations in life, and I've got a feeling that most of you are with me here this morning. There have been a few situations in life where folks just decided they didn't like me. Amen. I remember my best friend in grade school, Richard. I won't give his name out on the tape here this morning, but we were best friends. We were Indians. Amen. We had feathers in our hair, and we had the headband and a bow and arrow. We were Indians. We'd go out in the woods, and we'd play, and we'd make a hut, and we'd do all kinds of things out there. And then one day, all of a sudden, he wasn't my friend anymore. And I couldn't understand why. I never did figure out why he was not my friend anymore. But I've come to understand in life that things like that are going to happen. Amen. Well, praise God. It really will. So what am I going to do about life? Well, I'm going to love the things that God loves. I'm going to delight in the things that God delights in. And so because God delights in loving kindness, which means to be kindly or merciful or to pity. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. I don't have a clock here in front of me, but I need to probably check it out. Amen. Got a little bit more time. Is that anybody ready to go forward a little bit here? Three or four of us? All right. Hang in there. All right. So the Lord also loves judgment. I don't know if I spelled that correctly. Judgment. I don't think I did. Now it's spelled correctly. Amen. Judgment. Everybody said judgment. All right. Webster's defines judgment as the faculty of the mind by which man is enabled to compare ideas and ascertain the relations of terms and propositions. Now that's a mouthful right there. Y'all got that one? As a man of clear judgment or sound judgment. Praise the Lord. And so when we think of judgment there, we think of a God that's going to send people to hell. Amen. And there is a day of judgment, but the day of judgment is not going to be based upon necessarily God's emotion, but it's going to be based upon fact. Amen. It is not going to be based upon, and I'm thankful for this, where God doesn't say, Gavin, I just don't like the way you do your hair. I'm going to send you to hell. I just don't like the way I made your nose. I'm going to send you to hell. I'm thankful God's not that way. Amen. Looking at all of us here this morning, we all ought to be thankful this morning. Amen. Because none of us are perfect, right? We're not perfect, but there is a need for judgment, amen, to compare ideas and ascertain the relations of terms and propositions, amen. It supplies certain knowledge, according to his definition, and when we love judgment and seek to do the right thing, then we will find the mind of God. And so what does the Lord do? The Lord exercises judgment. And so when he gave Solomon wisdom, this was wisdom of this world and wisdom of God, what did Solomon have to do? They brought a couple of ladies before him that had infant children. One of them had died in the night, and the mother had switched the baby. Here he was, just a young man. He didn't know how to come in or go out. He said, "Lord, give me wisdom that I may know how to judge this thy so great a people." Amen. And so what we need is to love judgment. I want to make the right decision based upon the information that I have. Amen. And not to be biased by prejudice. Amen. Not to be biased by prejudice. I don't look at an individual based upon the color of their skin. Amen. None of us should do that. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you come from in this earth. America is a great place. But if you go to Africa, you have Africans. Amen. And if you go to Mexico, you have Mexicans. And so on and so forth. But in America, here this morning, we have diverse backgrounds. Some of you are from England. Some of you are maybe from Africa. I really don't know. Some of you are from Asia, from Asian descent. But you know what? We don't judge based upon those things. Amen. As I believe it was Martin Luther King said, he was dreaming of a day when a man would be judged not by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. We've lost that in America. We've lost that because nowadays it doesn't matter about the content of your character. It just matters about the color of your skin. But I don't want somebody judging me because of the color of my skin. Well, praise the Lord. I didn't ask for it, and you didn't ask for it. It's the way God made us, and we need to love one another, and we need to exercise proper judgment. Amen. Is it the right thing to do financially? Is it the right thing to do relationship-wise? Judgment. We need to exercise judgment. Is it important to serve God? I say this morning, it is important to serve God. Amen. God loves judgment. Amen. He talks about it right here. All right. So when it comes to judgment, then we could, I don't know, you can interchange these, I guess. But we could look at power here. Bring it right back up to there. Usually when you have power, you can tell when someone has power by their judgment character. Amen. Give a man power and you'll see who he really is. It's not when you're afflicted that you see what the person really is, but it's when they have power. Amen. And we have seen earthly kings, the little man in North Korea. If he doesn't like you, you're going to end up being shot right there. You know why? Because he has power. But they say that he is a despot. Amen. That he, when he eats, he gorges himself, slobbers all over himself. He is a very given over to his own flesh. And we read about it in the Bible. We've read about it in history. We have read about the former leader of Iraq, Saddam Hussein, who purchased a gigantic or a large, for lack of a better word, paper shredder. Only it was made for shredding plastic. That's what its original design was for. And he set it up in a room, and those that didn't like him, he just sent them right down into the paper shredder. And he would make his two boys, watch to harden them so that when they got older, they could use their power. And he would take some of them, he would put them down slowly. I guess they had some sort of a lift situation. Kind of cruel, wouldn't you say? Hitler, who came along in World War II, and all of the horrible, terrible things that power would do to an individual. But do you realize this morning, we don't have that kind of power this morning, but every one of us have power this morning. God has given you an amount of authority and power over something. Amen. You have authority and you have power, and what we must exercise is judgment. Amen. Well, praise God. Judgment modifies the power. Amen. And it puts it in the right direction. Well, praise God. You can have a gigantic engine. I've seen, well, yesterday they had at the thing, they had a pickup truck. I guess it was a little bigger than a pickup truck. And he had a jet engine on it. And he was going to show how fast he could go down the runway in this pickup truck. And he got that thing going, and then he popped the parachutes out and all of that. But you know what? That was a waste of power. They said that he burned up 150 gallons of fuel just in that one few seconds. Amen. I thought, I don't want to fill that thing up with gas. I don't want that to be my work car. Amen. Flames coming out the back, pulling into the parking lot where you work and shut it off. That's power. Amen. And you could get out of that thing and you could strut yourself up to the office and everybody oohing and awing about all that. But the truth of it is you're just hurting yourself every time you got to fill it up with gas every day. Amen. Probably two or three times a day, 150 gallons. At $2 a gallon, that's $300 a day, two or three times a day, you're going to go broke, but at least it looks really cool. That's what's important, is that it looks cool. Amen. And that you feel good about it. Well, praise God. What we got to do is exercise some judgment. I may have the power, but I'm not going to hook it up to that kind of a situation because it's an overkill of power. It's overkill of power. Amen. And when you exercise power in the wrong way, it sends the wrong message. Amen. I was listening to something the other day. Someone was talking about leadership styles, and one of the leadership style that he was talking about was a leadership style of command and control. Amen. That's what he called it, command and control. And he talked about how it is wasteful and how it doesn't really work. It might work for a few people. It might work for the military, because you'll be thrown in jail if you don't listen to command and control. There are certain places where that's needed, but sir, don't raise your children with command and control leadership. Praise the Lord. That doesn't mean you let them do whatever they want to do, but command and control limits the individual that is being controlled. It is a subtle form of slavery. Amen. And nobody wants to be a slave to somebody else. And then he talked about the ministry of Jesus. Did Jesus have a command and control? No, he come along and he said, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And he leads his sheep. He does not drive them with a whip. He does not command and control, but he leads them. And if they don't follow, then that's their fault. But if they will love the things that he loves, which is judgment. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, right? The Lord is my shepherd. He's my leader, and he's got all the power. Amen. But does he exercise the power? He doesn't. Amen. There are times that he does, and it is because of judgment. If God exercises his power to send someone to a lake of fire for eternity, then it is simply because it is judgmentally right. Amen. Or as they would say in our generation, judicially right. It would be the right thing to do. We put people in prison for 5 life term sentences. But we don't do it because we don't like the color of their skin or because of the way they fix their hair or the way they dress. We do it because we go through judgment. Amen. We judge the situation. We find out what the facts of the matter are. Hopefully that's the way it is. I'm afraid that we're coming to a two-tier system of justice in our country where you and I are going to be judged to the fullest extent of the law, but those at the top are not going to be judged at all. And it doesn't set well with some of us. Amen. And you know what? It doesn't set well with God. Praise the Lord. He's not going to send anybody to hell that's not supposed to be there. Praise the Lord. And on top of that, he's not going to bless anybody that doesn't deserve it. Amen. Well, maybe I should take that back. He sends rain upon the just and the unjust. And so God looks at judgment and he says, I'm going to bless. Amen. I'm just going to keep on blessing. I want to ask you today, can you lose by blessing? Can you lose by hating? You can. You can be a big-time loser by hating. Amen. I want to give it the best opportunity that is possible. And it may not work out. God's got mercy on our world. Amen. He's got the power to judge our world, but he doesn't because he's hoping against hope. I want this to work out. I want to spend eternity with you. I want to save you. I want to help you. But we're the ones that usually get in the way, right? All right. So the third one is righteousness. And I'll just use the first five letters there. Excuse me. Righteousness. Webster says righteousness is, the definition here is purity of heart and rectitude of life, conformity of heart and life to the divine law. Amen. In one place in the scripture, it says that God judges righteously. And we just got through talking about that. So we have mercy, we have power, and we have wisdom. Amen. I'll just use the word wise there. God uses his righteousness wisely. Amen. And righteousness, purity of heart. Oh, I want to be like the Lord. He said, this is what I delight in, is let him that glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Oh my, there's a lifetime of study. There's a lifetime of experience to understand God. Do we understand God this morning? Do we understand? I don't understand. There's a lot of things I don't understand. Amen. There's a lot of things I don't comprehend, but I'm trying. He's given us his word, and the word of God is what we can go to understand the Lord. But there is an understanding, amen, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things, I delight, saith the Lord. And so righteousness, amen, in our wisdom, we could go back up here to wisdom again. In our wisdom, and in our logic, and in our reasoning, we look at the scriptures, we look at righteousness, and by the way, righteousness is what the Lord wants us to develop in our lives. Let me go a little further in this definition. And it says this, it includes all we call justice, honesty, and virtue with holy affections. In short, it is true religion and is nearly equivalent to holiness. Amen. Wherefore, come out from among them, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. And so we're striving for righteousness. The Bible says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God, so there's no way that we can become righteous. It is not a works-based relationship, but it is an obedience-based relationship. Obedience out of love. Well, praise the Lord. You know what? And I may get myself in trouble here this morning. I don't know if I want to get in trouble here today. But, you know, the Bible says, wives, submit yourself to your own husband. And some guys use that and they say, see there, you're supposed to do what I say. That's not what it means. All right? I don't want to pop anybody's bubble here this morning. Well, maybe I do. Amen. You know what? The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Or love your wife. Amen. Let's just put it that way. Love your wife, even as the Lord loved the church and gave his life for it. You know what? When you trust somebody and you really love somebody, it's easy to submit to that person. It's easy to submit to God. It's always been easy for me to submit to my pastor. I had a wonderful pastor. Brother Stanford was an awesome man of God. And you know what? He was an individual, and he had ideas that were kind of way out there sometimes. And he was always coming up with new ideas of outreach and all of that. But there was never a time that I didn't get to the place. There was maybe once or twice, but I prayed through about it. Amen. One of the men in the church there, they told me the story that he went and bought some trees, and he said, I want you to plant these trees on the church property. Well, where do you want them, Pastor? Oh, it doesn't matter. Just plant them. I need these trees planted, and then he'd go off. And that was his style of leadership. And so he planted the trees and spent a whole day digging holes and planting the trees, getting everything set. And my pastor come back and said, oh, no, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. I don't like this. He said, you know what, Brother Worse? He said, it really offended me. He said, I worked hard. And I thought, well, you know what? We're all human, aren't we? But there's one thing I learned was to trust. Amen. To trust him. And I did trust him. But there were times that it was a little bit on the line, you know. And yet with the Lord exercises love, doesn't he? The Lord exercises proper judgment. The Lord is righteous in every way. And what we've got to do is understand him and know him. And when we understand him and know him, then we trust him. And if the Lord says, this is what I consider to be right, this is what I consider righteousness, you know, the Bible says that we should dress modestly, that's right. It's right. And when we trust God and we do it, then it becomes righteousness. It is the act of doing what is right. Amen. It's following through. I could go into holiness. I'm not going to go into holiness here this morning, but I'm telling you, if you've got the right spirit and attitude, amen. Brother Mike's not here. I've been teaching him now for a couple months, two or three months, and a brand new convert, 57 years old, doesn't know anything about the Bible, doesn't know anything about anything. Came to the church on Wednesday night, had never been in a church service in his life at 57 years old, except for a wedding or a funeral. And he would drink beer. Can you believe that? He was a sinner. Amen. And he came to God. And so a couple of weeks after he received the Holy Ghost, he said, I thought I'd just try a beer and see what it tasted like after a couple of weeks. And he said, I took one of them and took a sip of it, and he said it was the nastiest tasting thing I'd ever drank in my life. And he said, that's it. I'm through with this. You know what? He never got any message from the pulpit. Amen. You know what? He got a message in his heart from God. God began to write the laws on the tables of his heart. But you know what we do? We say, well, Jesus drank wine. Without looking at the righteousness part of it or judging it according to the scriptures, amen, because there are two wines in the scripture. Did you know that? They both have the same name, in fact. And one of them is a curse. Amen. One of them is wrong, and that's the alcoholic wine or alcoholic drink. And the other was the fresh grapes that was squeezed out. It was called wine. Amen. And the best wine was non-alcoholic. The best wine was the kind of wine that you could drink all day, and it would be a blessing to your physical body, and it would not hurt you in any way. Now, you know that, right?
Yep.
Are you going to go home and throw all your beer away now? Well, Pastor, you know what? I've got to think about this a little bit. I've got to reason this out in my mind a little bit. You're getting a little bit radical here. Amen. No, I'm just going to the Word of God. Amen. I'm just going. I can feel it already right now. Oh, here he goes again. No, I'm not going to preach. I'm teaching this morning. Amen. I don't feel like preaching. I don't think I could if I wanted to this morning. But I'm telling you today that this is what gets in the way of this. Well, I know somebody that goes to church a couple times a year, and they said that ain't in the Bible, so I don't believe it. Amen. That was my big excuse. Oh, the Bible's got so many contradictions in it, you can't believe it. I'd never picked up a Bible and read it in my life. That was something somebody said, and it sounded good to me, and it was a good excuse. Amen. The wisdom of man. But that's going to pass away, folks. You know what God loves? He loves it when people hear the Word of God, and they walk out the door and they say, I'm going to do it. Well, praise the Lord. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to exert my power. Well, he can't make me do anything. You're right. I can't make any of you do anything. And God didn't call me to be a command and control leader either. Amen. But God called me to preach. Amen. Well, power, riches. Amen. It all goes against the ways of the Lord. But the Lord loves righteousness. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
And when we delight in these things, oh, well, you know, I've said it over the years, husbands, love your wife. You need to go home and tell your wife you love her. And that's kind of it puts us guys on the spot, so I don't do that anymore. Amen. Because the next time he says, I love you, honey, oh, you're just saying that because the pastor told you to say that. But wouldn't it be something if you went home and said, and you said, all right, honey, sit down. I love you. Pastor told me to tell you I love you. I love you. Now, that's going to make a lot of points there, but they're going to be in the negative category. Amen. 10 points negative, not 10 points positive. Are you with me, Gene? He's right there with me. He's on the edge of his seat this morning. Amen. So, Brenda, forget that I said anything about this morning. And when he says, I love you, just take it from the heart. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I'm doing it because Pastor said I had to do it. God, I'm doing it. I love you, God, but I'm just doing it because I heard that message this morning, and I'm going to have to go home, clean out my refrigerator, and oh, Lord, help us. I was out one time. Maybe I shouldn't even say this. What time is it? Dear Lord, we got a few minutes. That's dangerous. But I was out with someone one time. We was driving around. I was driving, and I was going too fast, and we were drinking beer, all right? And we had it in the back of the pickup truck, and the Wichita police pulled me over, and checked us all out, and he said, I'm not going to press any charges against you. I'm not going to do any breathalyzer test, but you're going to have to dump all that beer out in the street right now before me. And the friend that was with me, he was having mercy. He was exercising judgment. Amen. And my friend would pop the lid open and he slammed it down. Popped it open and slammed it down. Popped it open and slammed it down. He was making a protest. He was doing what he was told to do because he knew if he didn't, he was going to be judged. But he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it he just didn't want to do it. Amen. And you know what? We do the very same thing. Well, I can't do it because it's in the Word of God. I can't do it because Pastor said this. Can I go just a little bit further this morning?
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Are you sure you want me to?
Amen.
You know what the Bible says? And I'm not using this, but I feel like there's something that's trying to creep in here among us. And I want to try to help us here this morning. This is the only reason I'm saying this. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your soul as they that must give an account. Now it's gotten quiet. Let's see, where are we? Oh, we're right up here. We're talking about this now. All right. Well, ain't no scripture in the Bible that says anything about that. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm just going to do what nobody's saying teach it now. No, quit. Y'all help me here this morning. Amen. You know what? You don't have a pastor this morning that's hiding in the bushes behind your house and looking in your window to see what you do. I don't call you folks up on a regular basis and say, you know, are you doing what's right, Nathan? Are you doing what's right, Garrett? Have I ever done that? Never have. You know what? I'm not planning on doing that. I'm just trying to be an under-shepherd. I'm not the shepherd. But I'll tell you what this morning, if we get an attitude about this, then the Bible tells us that in one place every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, praise the Lord. My, it's awful quiet in here this morning. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about giving, doesn't it? It talks about giving. And it talks about tithes. Everybody talks about the tithes. But there's also a thing called an offering. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? God understands. He knows my heart. I've got a niece that I love her, and she was asking me how things were going, and she's received the Holy Ghost, but she doesn't believe in the righteousness aspect of things. And she said, oh, it doesn't matter where you go to church. God, it's all about your heart. Well, you know what? It is all about your heart. But where is your heart? Is your heart in the Word of God? Or is your heart, or the things that you glory in, is it your wisdom? Amen. I feel like there's a spirit that's trying to get in here. Pastor preaches. Now, I understand there's some elderly here this morning that can't be in the house of God. I understand that. I understand you can't see very far and you can't drive at night. But I'm telling you, and other situations, not just the Tucker situation, but I'm telling you this morning, when the pastor preaches, you need to be faithful to the house of God. Well, this, that, and the other. You know what, folks? God looks at it and God says, I don't like that. Because you're delighting in your own wisdom. Well, now it's really quiet. I guess we were moving along pretty well. And you, some of you are looking at your watches. So I guess I'll have to finish here. But Paul summed up his life like this, and I hope that you can do the same thing. Philippians 3 and verse 10. He said, that I may know him and the power, everybody said power, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Amen. I want to know him. I want to know him in the power, not the power of man, but I want to know him in the power of God. I want to know how to handle this power. I want to know how to handle my life. Well, praise the Lord. Is everybody happy this morning?
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, lift your hand. All right. Well, praise God. Worked out okay this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise God, that I may know him. That I may know him. These are the things that I delight in, saith the Lord. Don't glory in your wisdom or your power or your riches, but glory in this: I know God. And God loves loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Let us fall in love with these things, folks. Let us fall in love. How are you going to know God without prayer? How are you going to know God without reading the Word of God? How are you going to know God if you don't talk to him on a daily basis and study about him and read about him and hear the preaching of the Word of God so that we can have faith in God? Amen. And walk with God in righteousness and in truth. I don't think we can. We can't really know him unless we adhere to certain things that are going to enhance this. But what do we do? No, we're gonna stay home, and we're gonna spend our time on YouTube. We're gonna stay home and spend our time watching our television. We're going to stay home and read books about this, that, and the other. Oh, well, they're not ungodly books. I'm not talking about that. I don't think you can find anything on TV that's not ungodly, but or in many, many places on the internet, by the way. Well, praise the Lord. You just can't do it. Well, Oh, I love this movie. Well, how about coming to church? Oh, no, the movie's on. I can't come to church. He said, what do you rave about? What do you love the most? Nobody's told me anything about anybody here this morning. But what do you love the most? What is the thing that is your heartbeat today? What is it? Amen. You say, well, you're the pastor. You're supposed to be here every service. No. Before I was ever a pastor, before God ever called me to preach, I didn't do anything in the church but clean it. And I could not wait to get into the house of God. And I've been that way my whole life. I love coming to the house of God. I love to feel the Holy Ghost. It disturbs me when I don't feel God because I need him. My friend, you need him this morning. And it's not just a once in a while time. But I'm telling you what, you need him. Just try it out with your husband or your wife. No, don't try it out, because just don't do that. Amen. Well, nice seeing you today. I'll see you in a couple weeks. Huh? Oh, well, don't worry, Pastor. I pray during the day. Everything's all right. Well, just try it out with your husband. Shoot him a text every so often during the day. Or text your wife once every couple weeks, or maybe even once a day. And just be gone for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. Well, what are you doing? Well, you know, I'm going to going over here to this entertainment thing today, or I'm going, and I'm busy working, and I'll see you in a couple weeks, honey.
Okay.
I'll text you during the couple weeks. It'll be all right. We still love each other. We still know each other. See how that works. See how that works. Oh, it's not going to work. I'm telling you this morning, it's not going to work. You got to delight in that wife. As Brother Riley says, his bride. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds good. Oh, that's the old lady over there. That's the old man. All he does is come home, plop himself down on the couch, and that's it until the rest of the day's over with. Never tells me he loves me. Oh, he's here. He's here. But you know what? There's a whole lot more to it than just being here. Well, I'm just going to show up because it's my religious obligation. Dear Lord, I'm getting honored here this morning. Some of this isn't even in my message notes, but I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. You're not going to know God. You're not going to know God until you really get serious about God. You're not going to have a good marriage until you get serious about it. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I got a little bit in me this morning. Woo! I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Got to get serious about it. Quit playing games. Quit playing your little power game. Just quit it. Amen. And do the things that God loves. And things will get brighter. Praise the Lord. They'll get brighter. It'll get better. Brother Mike's the head of a band. He's had his own band. Rock and roll, country, western, gospel, whatever. Just all kinds of stuff. He's the head of it. His dad, his brothers, some friends. And he even built his own studio. And got his own equipment and all that. And they go over there and jam and play and all this. They go to the festival down there in Winfield. I'm not against bluegrass music and all that sort of thing. But he's just a brand new convert. He said, I told my dad the other day I'm quitting the band. He said, I'm selling all my equipment. He said, I'm not going down there and being around all that worldly stuff. He said, I just don't feel right about it. And nobody's told him anything. So you're going to sell everything? Yeah, he said, I've got some old stuff. I'm selling it all. He even bought land to put this studio on. Built it. Delights in it. Loves it. Years and years and years of all of this. And now it comes to God. I delight in the Lord. I just don't feel right about this anymore.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe, dear Lord, I could go on and on here this morning. Yeah, you got yourself married, but you used to have four or five or six girlfriends, and somehow or another you know, they shoot you a text, and you shoot a text back. Well, that's going to really help your marriage. That's really going to bless your relationship with your wife. You know what? When you get serious about relationships, there are some things that you've got to cut off. Hallelujah. You got to cut them off. And we fail. Yes, we do. But I'm telling you what, we get back up and we go to the thing that we love the most. I'm cutting off some things of this world because those are my old friends. Those are my old things that I used to do, those old sins. I'm going to cut those things off, and I'm going to give my whole life to God. I'm not letting anything get in my way. I'm not letting anything. Well, praise God. I'm not going to delight in anything else but in the Lord. Let's pray together. Come on, somebody help me this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our voices this morning. Let's lift our voices this morning. We need the touch of the Holy Ghost this morning. God, we need your presence this morning. God, we need your touch this morning. Help us. Help us to know you more. Write the laws on the tables of our heart. Put love down on the inside. Righteousness on the inside. Loving kindness on the inside. Put judgment in our hearts, God. Give us the ability to judge and to know what is right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Can we give him a hand clap of praise this morning? Go ahead and sing it.